You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, Dr. Gary Joyner takes a look back at the historic powder keg region of the Balkans, which has sparked so much of our history and explains why it matters.
Some areas of the world never seem to know peace. Geography often breeds human instability, and ancient rivalries never seem to disappear. Without much thought, we can name some of these places, certainly Israel and its neighbors. Afghanistan also comes to mind, a place so tough that even Alexander the Great and his army abandoned it. But another place that gave the Romans many problems was their province of Illyricum, which for most of the 20th century was called Yugoslavia, an artificial creation of the great powers following World War I. When most of the countries that were created following World War I were based upon nationalities and ethnicities, Yugoslavia was a hodgepodge. It had been part of the Balkan powder keg that led up to World War I. Indeed, the opening shot was fired in Sarajevo when a Serbian nationalist named Gavrilo Princip jumped on the running board of a touring car carrying the heir apparent to the Austro-Hungarian Empire and murdered Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie. None of the countries that had a stake in the Balkans would back down, and their allies pushed them into fighting. The result was the greatest war in the history of the world up to that time. So what makes this place a powder keg? Even in Roman times, it was a crossroads between East and West. Most of the people living there are Slavic. Slavs are people who originally inhabited Russia, and indeed, Russians are called Greater Slavs, or Great Slavs, and the people in the Balkans are called Lesser Slavs. Most of them are Christian, but many converted to Islam when the Ottoman Empire encroached into this area. The Ottomans, who were Muslims, attempted to convert the population, and fierce regional fighting erupted when some groups, principally the Bosnians and some Albanians, converted, and others, principally the Serbs and Montenegrins, remained equally committed to Orthodox Christianity. The Christians considered themselves on the front lines of protecting Christian Europe, and particularly all Slavs, from the invading Muslims. They never forgave the Bosnians for converting. When the Ottomans invaded Kosovo in June 1389, a large battle was fought in what has become known as the Blackbird Field. The Ottoman Sultan, Murad I, was killed, as were many Christian Serbian leaders. The Ottomans would later push throughout the Balkans and would often threaten Europe, twice laying siege to Vienna, Austria. The Christians became rabidly anti-Muslim, and those Slavs who converted to Islam were threatened constantly by their Christian neighbors. Even in the late 20th century, the conflict in the Balkans has continued with UN peacekeepers trying to keep the factions separated. The only person who was able to keep a lid on this volatile mix of ethnic fighting and cleansing was the communist dictator Marshal Tito. Upon his death, the old problems rose again, with the Serbs trying to destroy the Bosnians and the ethnic German Croatians surreptitiously helping the Serbs. During the last round of particularly vicious fighting, the Serbs commonly referred to their need to avenge their losses at the Blackbird Field. In the Balkans, old memories never fade away. Other Christian groups, beside the Serbs, at times led the charge against the Muslims. The most famous of the anti-Turkish leaders was Vlad Sepes, Vlad the Impaler, the inspiration for Dracula. Another was Skanderbeg, an Albanian prince who held the Ottomans at bay. As we watch the action unfold in that part of the world today, we must remember that the desire for revenge often does not diminish. It remains ageless. Old rivalries never die, and new generations are taught to honor the ideals and the rivalries of their forefathers. In today's history, we see yesterday's history, and that is why history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.